Good morning and welcome to the study of the Word of God, part two here at Spring Valley Bible Church. I'm Phil McMillan. We stuck just a second late this time, not from my incompetence at technical situations, but because we had a little excitement, and Brother Linus Akva, who we've been praying for and talking about lately, just happened to FaceTime me on WhatsApp and just wanted us, all of us got to see the Onward Children that he works with and getting ready to teach them the Bible and this afternoon or this early evening in Nigeria. He just finished a graduate course and just got back into town this morning and went immediately out to the field. So he's growing in his knowledge as well as continuing to spread the word there. Well, the first thing we need to do this morning is prepare for worship with prayer. Nothing we can do in our own power is worthwhile to God. It's got to be His way and His power. So, search your souls, lay aside your guilt, self-obsession, and problems, and ask God the Holy Spirit for the eyes and ears to see, and so that all we may say and do will edify this local body and glorify our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all your little encouragements along the way. Lord, we just are blessed to hear from our brother Linus and didn't know he was going to call, and we're all blessed to have seen him with the children that he administers to there in Nigeria. And his work continues on. We thank you, Lord, for using us to help support his ministry. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for that blessing of having someone spread the word and help us gain eternal rewards for praying and supporting his ministry, Lord. We love your grace plan. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to come together this morning. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that all we may say and do will glorify our Savior, for it's in his name that we pray, sir. Amen. So, let's start off with the song this morning, shall we, Brian?
Yeah, this is hymn 337. Hymn 337, The Solid Rock. Otherwise known as My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. The Solid Rock, 337.
Trust the sweetest strength, Lord.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Brian. Let's see. Our scripture reading for this morning comes from John chapter 17, starting in verse 15. Jesus says, I do not ask thee, talking to the Father, this is the Lord's Prayer, I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. That's us, right? We who have believed in Christ because of what those apostles taught. I do not ask something for me alone, but those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, and that the world may know that thou didst send me and didst love them even as thou didst love me. We're all in this together, and we're all in it for the relationship with the Father, just as Christ was constantly occupied with what his Father in heaven wanted him to do. That's our attitude. That's the attitude that we should have, to be constantly occupied not with the things of this world, but with the things of heaven, where our true relationship is, where our true identity is, in the heaven with the Father through his Son. And we do that in the power of his Spirit each and every day. So, let's see. So for our second song, Brian, we're going to do what?
Let's see, number 13, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
See, that's why Herman always has Jeff Langston do the scripture reading, because I'm often preaching on that thing, you know. I mean, let's get back to the worship phase and have our second song. Let's see. I love that here I plant mine Ebenezer. And they had the scripture reference at the bottom of it, right, for what that means. And a man was on a journey for the Lord, and he took a big rock, and he was about halfway there, and he named that rock Ebenezer, and he planted it right then and there, and he said, I'm putting this rock here because the Lord has brought me thus far, and I know he's going to take me the rest of the way there. So in our lives, things that we do, you know, we have graduations and weddings and funerals and all these things that we do, we're literally planting an Ebenezer, taking a moment to reflect. God has brought us thus far, and we'll see us the rest of the way. Let's go on to prayer requests this morning, of course, and the schedule, just general announcements. So for those of you who may be joining us and did not hear, Herman has had some continued health issues related to his previous stroke, and he is out of the life-threatening, dangerous woods that we saw him in earlier this week. And he's moved from ICU to a regular room, and he's about to be going into therapy, speech therapy. Herman is you know, he can think well. He knows what's going on in his head. The stroke has taken out his verbal communication to a great degree, as we've noticed him struggling more and more. And this is going to cause him now to go into more intense speech therapy. Last week, he just at the last minute realized he was not going to be able to do the class, so he called me and already done prepared the class, and he gave me the notes, and I just read the notes. Well, that worked out great for me, so it kept me from spending 5 hours at my desk preparing a class. So, and I was happy to read that for him. So, if we have to continue on that way, we will. As Herman gets through his therapy and continues to gain his strength, if he can only sit at his desk and study, then we'll get that word from him to you, okay, one way or another. Kit is was feeling poorly after he returned from his vacation. He texted me and the others yesterday, and he was tested positive for COVID. And of course, at this point in the COVID cycle, that's, you know, nowhere near the serious condition that it was, but it's still contagious, and it's still no fun at all to have. So we want to be in prayer for Kit's rapid recovery, and Julia too, his wife. And he's going to be quarantined for another week, but we hope to get to Kit, and he and I are going to hope to get together this week and talk about the schedule moving forward. I think Chris is planning on being here for one of the classes next Sunday, and I'll do the other one. And we'll keep you posted on how we're going to keep the pulpit warm for if and when Herman can return. Okay, we are about spreading the word of God, and we're going to assemble to do just that the best that we can. And we'll continue that as long as we have the means to do so. So we have Kit, and of course Chris and Lori are in Oklahoma with one of their sons at school. They already had that on the books before all the difficulties came this way, but he thinks he'll be back next Sunday. And please pray for their safe travels. I don't need a surprise you're doing two classes again next week, that's for sure. So, but we'll do it as we can. I'm going to, this morning, we recapped the previous study in Proverbs, and I'm going to pick that up, I think, next Sunday for one of the classes, and we'll keep seeing if we make some headway in Proverbs. I think we were up to about chapter 11 when we got cut off previously back in December. Let's see. So, what other prayer requests do we have? Yes, ma'am.
Safe travel for Jeff and Debbie as they come back today.
Yeah, Jeff and Debbie are on the road. They're coming back today? Got them almost here. Just a little more prayer and we'll
tonight.
Be good. Okay, good, good. All right. Any others? Can see, am I forgetting something? Help me. You always remember everything else for me. Why can't you remember that?
We got all of them, I think.
Okay. Yeah. If you have previously what you want to say. If you have previously put yourself or a loved one on our prayer list, please give an update from time to time. Let Leslie know if it's safe to remove them from the prayer list, if we need something to change the emphasis of that prayer. We have a lot of names on the prayer list that have been there for over 6 months, and none of us have any idea who they are or why they got on the prayer list in the first place. And we hate to just purge the prayer list and start over, because some of them might need our prayers. But if you have any information on the prayer list, just hit respond when the prayer list comes to you. Hit reply tell, not reply all, we don't all need to know. Just reply, and Leslie will get the message. Tell him if you have somebody that needs to come or go. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I can tell Leslie, please keep Sheila Hayes on there. That's my niece. Hers is still very serious.
Yeah, and she's still on our prayer list and has been. Yes, yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Just thank you for your prayers. I'm healing. So it's just going to take months and months.
Well, we'll keep praying for you for a little while.
Yeah. Yeah, just thank you all for your prayers.
Yes,
and Bobby's doing well.
Bobby and Tish, of course.
Tuesday or next week for a follow-up. But yes, he's plugging along, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We should ask for an update on Tish because, you know, she's been celebrating.
Actually, she didn't have to eat them, but she woke up not feeling good today.
Okay. Well, we don't mind having you on our prayer list in perpetuity. We just want to know that you need to be there, you know. So, yes, Julie.
Two things. One was Uncle Willard, Brian's uncle.
Brian's uncle, yeah.
Yeah, we put him on the prayer list a while back, so he does better, but he will need the determination from the doctor about the hernia surgery.
Mm-hmm.
You've been there, so probably
yeah.
Know how difficult it is to get one in. But anyway, so please continue to pray for that. And the second one is, there was a question on who Vicky is, that who has the cancer. And
yeah.
I don't think we have the answer yet.
And that's Vicky, and someone that Jerry knows.
Oh, yeah.
And she had breast cancer, made it through all the treatments. And then she had reconstructive surgery, and she's recovering from that pretty well. She's still a little sore, but she's recovering.
Okay, so we're going to keep her on the prayer list then, and glad to do so. But yeah, I was wondering. I didn't know where she came from or anything.
Yeah.
Just praying for Vicky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's glad
yeah.
Her husband that cooked.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I met. She was at the. No, she wasn't there. She didn't make it. Okay. And speaking of a long time on my prayer list, how's Jan doing? Your friend Jan.
Hey.
Oh, she's doing much better.
Yeah.
Craig's looking at me like,
well,
and I'm like,
Bill's looking
hello.
Past the.
I thought you were swinging at me.
I know.
I'm sorry.
We saw her about a month ago at the Ranger game.
His
50th. So she's doing.
She looked really well.
Nothing. Haven't heard anything about anything. So
yeah.
I'm assuming all is going well.
She can take her off.
She could probably.
Yeah, but she's not going to, she's already said if it flares up again, she's not going to go through
yeah.
What she went through last time.
Right, yeah, yeah. I remembered that about her prayer request, and so she's been on ours for a while. I don't know if she's selling one. Yeah. Any other prayer requests? Okay. Let's see. Any other announcements? Please keep the youth ministry in your prayers. We will be having a planning session as soon as we can, and what's going to be going on in this year. We've been blessed in the youth ministry for a number of years, and in the last few years we've been seeing it the face of it changing. You know, and if you know a couple with young people that want to start doing classes in their house, we can get them support to do that so we can keep young people interested. Okay. The thing is, it was built around the day kids when they were young, and my granddaughters when they were young, Larry and Brian's kids, and they're all in college now. So we have a more active college ministry than we have a youth ministry, and what we need is a parent that is has got young kids that is willing to host and can help us keep the young ones in. and bolster our summer camp. Okay. Although last year, summer camp, we got a lot of kids in at the last minute that hadn't been involved in any weekly meetings or anything, but they decided to come to the camp. They got the gospel and many were baptized. So it was an awesome camp, and God can do with it everything that He wants. And we want to continue that effort if it's His will. Okay. Let's see. So summer camp, Brother Akva, Linus Akva, we just heard from him, as I said, and we're going to close out that offertory on Brother Linus. I'm supposed to send him the gifts collected on the 19th. So next weekend, today's,
that's
tomorrow. Yeah, so we're going to close out Brother Linus, if you have any donations for him, and I'm going to get that money to him early next week, and we'll discuss which missionary that we support and pray for. We have the Riesley family ministry in Mexico. We have Dan and Pat's overreaching ministry to Africa. Of course, Fassel and Carey. Who else do we pray for on the missionary list? Well, we have several to choose from. So we're just gonna start taking a small, whatever we can get for a month for one of those missionaries that we support, and see if we can get some outreach for our missionary people. And we have some tremendous missionaries that we support. The Riesley family. That's they're the closest thing to the New Testament model of a missionary that you are ever going to find. You know, I've seen that, having been a missionary, I have seen people who make money on the mission field, and the Riesleys are not one of those, believe me. And really, Fassel and Carey, they would stay in Pakistan year round if they were able to. It's a closed country, and it's hard for them to get 3 months in country at a time, and they do that as often as they can. But I think they do a very good job, and Fassel, being from Pakistan, his heart is really in that mission field, and even when he's not there, he has built quite a network of training online. He teaches through WhatsApp, and he puts recorded lessons on WhatsApp for them to reference later on. And so he has a very active ministry in Pakistan, even though he's not there more than 5 or 6 months a year. But don't let that discourage you from being in support of them. So we're going to discuss and see and I'll take any recommendations you have as to what the next missionary we might want to collect for a gift for. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Accepting checks today for Brother Linus.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. We will take it today. And Jeff is coming back into town. He's going to collect it all up, and he's going to write me a check, and I'm going to get it sent over to Nigeria. We've sent him a little money in the past. We use a service called World Remit, and we will get the shoot it right over to him. He'll be able to pick it up. Okay. So I'll give you a report, and I'm sure he'll send a letter of thanks as soon as he gets it. I'll read that for you. Okay. So and as far as the offertory goes, like I said, I only get a report month to month from Jim Passmore on how we're doing as far as the church goes. We're hoping to bring in between $6,000 and $7,500 a month. And we did good in July, and in August we were about $4,000 short. And I haven't had a report this month yet. We'll probably get one in a couple of weeks from Jim, see how we're doing there. Not in definite imminent danger at this point. We've got a little bit of a cushion to go on. But remember, we have that earmark to take care of Herman and medical bills. And yes, ma'am.
Speak of the medical bill, there are online listeners who requested the way to support Herman's medical expenses. So the latest way is we suggested them to put the money through the PayPal contribution button. So you could elaborate a little bit on that.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't PayPal take 10% or 20% of the time?
Yeah, they do take a percentage, and when you give through PayPal, they're going to ask you if you want to pay that instead of getting it charged.
And it's just like 3%.
Yeah, it's like 3%. It's not terribly debilitating, but if you don't want to do it that way, you can always send us a check. If you mail a check here and you want it to go to one of our missionary outreaches or for some particular need you've got us put on your heart, you can always just write on the four line in your check, because Jim is going to look at that. Jeff is going to look at that, and he's going to get that where it's earmarked for. As far as Herman's medical expenses, we don't have a line item on that now, but I would say, past the $3,000 maybe a month of operating expenses and things, most of the offertory goes for Herman. So if you feel so inclined to put it for his medical expenses, okay. But more than likely, it's going to go there anyway if he don't earmark it for something else.
The very reason was because we have designated, and we explained previously, and we have the awareness about it, that Herman doesn't have a Social Security income.
Right.
So all the expense, and because of that, a lot of his friends in Houston, his high school friends, some of those friends, were thinking about putting something together for him.
Yes. Well, any donations made on our website, and there's two buttons on our website to donate, on the contributions page and on the main page, so you click on donate, you can make a donation through PayPal. It's secure, and it's going to ask you what this is for. If you don't put for anything, then it's going to just go to general fund as is. But if you put on there for Linus, it'll go to Linus. If you put on there for medical, then we'll earmark it for medical. Jeff does a good job of going through the checks and print out from PayPal every month to make sure we're getting the money to the right spots. Okay? Any other questions or concern on that? Okay. Well, we aren't under obligation or law in the church age as to giving. We don't have to worry about a tithe. We don't have to worry about if that tithe is gross or net. All we have to do is listen to the Spirit and give what He puts on our heart to give, and we give that not grudgingly or of necessity. Don't do it if you feel bad about it. Don't do it because you feel compelled to do it. What you want to give is between you and God, the Holy Spirit. And now join me in prayer that all that we do give may go for the edification of this body and the glorification of Christ. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to serve you. We thank you for the privilege of worshiping you in song and coming before your throne of grace. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fellowship that we have between one another for so many years, and we pray that your Spirit would guide us and lead us, and that we might continue to have this privilege to assemble together in this unique group and look to your word together. Heavenly Father, we ask you bless our pastor, Herman, and we ask that you take these funds and use them to the glorification of your Son. For it's in his name we pray, sir. Amen.
In preparation this morning, would you please join me once again in singing number 216, number 216, which is Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Shadow of turning twist.
Great. Love that song. I requested that one this morning. And the reason why is because, you know, in Texas we don't have a lot of seasons. You know, it's really, really hot. It's occasionally cold, you know. And But summer and winter, springtime and harvest, the God is faithful in the progression of the movements of the earth. And for me, the way I see that most of all and love to see every year is the first time that I see Orion in the night sky. And since I was up at 5 this morning, I stepped out on the back porch and looked up, and for my first glimpse of the mighty hunter as he appeared in the eastern sky for the year. And I'll be watching him as he gets further and further over, and all of a sudden we'll start seeing him in the evening. It's always that constellation is always physical presence of the faithfulness of God, and I think of it when I see him. So that's why I wanted to sing that particular hymn. So let's see. One thing that I wanted to add in the prayer request was that most of all, please let us pray for our country. There is no political solution, really. The only solution lies in the work of God the Holy Spirit to bring spiritual love and unity where none exists. There could be no work of the Spirit without the gospel of Christ being spread wide and fast. Okay? Pray for this, His work in revival, and be the work in this revival. Okay? And that's why I mistitled my lesson this morning. I titled it, spreading the gospel is what we, I think I came, sharing the gospel. I should have titled it, Share the Gospel. Okay. But we're gonna get, take, sorry, I spiked the audio there. should put it in imperative rather than continuous. But we are gonna talk about a little how-to as we go through the necessity of spreading the gospel in this day and age. You know, we have, many signs we could say that perhaps the rapture is imminent, that these are the last days, as Paul said. But when Paul said the last days, he was talking about the day he lived in, okay? It's been some 2,000 years since the last days began. We are still in those. One thing that we see in prophecy is that there's not a lot of room for interpretation to find a mention of America as events unfold in the beginning of the tribulation. And so, perhaps that if the rapture is imminent, the fall of America is imminent. But the fall of America doesn't depend on the rapture coming. The fall of America depends on whether we can be used to glorify Christ in this world or not. And as we look at our nation and love our nation, we've got to say the only way we can save our nation is by spreading the gospel and getting others to return to a life of faith in America. It's, you know, nowhere near like it was when even I was a kid. Herman often talks about, you know, how the gospel was shooting fish in a barrel back in his day because schools talked about Christmas and they talked about Easter. They had Easter break. They didn't have spring break, right? They had Easter breaks. And the gospel and the biblical heritage, even if you're not a believer, the biblical heritage of our nation is an important thing that it gives us that environment where we can tell people about Christ. And as that is being quickly eroded in our nation, it makes it harder and harder to get the gospel out there. And so if our nation is to survive, if it's not because of historical unfolding of the rapture and things, nothing we could do. But if it is going to survive, that survival is only going to be found in sharing the gospel and telling others about the biblical heritage that we have even. If you can't, you know, a good way to tell somebody the gospel, tell them why you're celebrating Easter, okay? Tell them why you don't put the Santa Claus in your lawn for Christmas. You know, put a manger scene in your lawn for Christmas. Make sure that you're representing the biblical heritage that we all grew up in your communication with the world around you. And that should give you opportunities to spread the gospel as well as just reinforce the things that our country was founded on. Okay? So, that's what we're going to be looking at today, is ways that we talk about the gospel and what's going on in our salvation and how we can spread it with other people. And the blessing that the gospel is to us, not just for our eternal salvation, but for what it sets, it puts in place for us to live our lives each and every day. Let me start with this. My verse to you, 1 Corinthians 2, says, "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the mystery of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message was, and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." This is a verse I often read when I start a class. I'm not here because I'm on some power trip. I had to laugh at myself this morning, as I told the first class. I was feeling kind of discouraged and thinking, maybe I ought to just step out of this rotation and let things proceed as they are and not teach these Bible classes anymore. Because I've got a lot of work to do. I'm a busy guy. I don't have time to see my wife half the time. And even my dog wonders who I am, barks at me occasionally. I'm staggering out of my office. But this thought goes through my head. Maybe I ought to get out of this. And the next day, Kit says, "I can't make it to Bible class. Can you do both of them?" So God's response to my wavering was to double up the workload on me. So I don't think I'll be quitting Bible classes anytime soon. Next thing I know, I have a prison ministry. So I'll just keep teaching you guys. I'm not here on a power trip, guys, and I'm not here because I'm the greatest Bible teacher in the world. I have the background of studying under Herman with you, so we have that frame of reference in common, and I have the language training and theological training. Maybe a little bit more than some of you, but mostly it's my idea to help you know that it's Christ and Him crucified in all situations in your life. And not only will that give your life meaning and joy, it will give you purpose in life and safeguard you from other heresies that are out there. So the purpose of our time together is that you be encouraged and equipped to glorify our Savior in all that you do. You do not have a worldly life and a spiritual life. You have one life, and God wants all of that life. The process of sanctification, great class from Chris last week, that process of sanctification is to get us to be Spirit-filled all the time. When we are in the Spirit, we are 100% holy. Sanctification doesn't mean you become more and more holy. Sanctification means you stay in that state of holiness. Sanctification means set apart or holy, right? It means you stay in that state more and more in your life. And that's the goal that we have, is to remain filled with the Spirit more and more in our life, to be sanctified. When we are in the Spirit, we glorify Christ. And that's the purpose for our lives. That's why we're still here as believers. If the objective was just to save us, okay, I believe, boom, you're out of here. He believes, boom, he's out of here. Yeah, if that was all that God wanted to accomplish in our salvation, that's the way the plan would roll, but the plan doesn't roll that way. We believe and we enter into this period where we have the opportunity to glorify Christ. And when we glorify Christ, we are presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice. We are the sacrifice of Christ in action. That's what the fruits of the Spirit are all about, to make you more Christ-like, right? And so that's our purpose in our lives. When we walk in the Spirit, we thereby glorify Christ. We're told we are to be lights in the world. This morning we're going to look at walking in light a little bit. Let's start with the creation of light, right? Genesis 1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water." Nothing but darkness in this world. Nothing but darkness in this world, right? And God said, let there be light. And there was light. See, I didn't yell on that one. I wanted to, though. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And all source of all light is God, right? And that's what we mean when we say walk in the light. We're talking again about sanctification, being the representation of God's light here on earth. And everything, as we saw in our study in Proverbs, right? Everything that's God is light. Everything that's not God is darkness. And in this world of darkness, even though it's daylight outside, there's a lot of darkness out there. And when we walk in the Spirit, we're God's light shining in that darkness. His Spirit is moving over the surface of the waters right now, and it's alive in each and every one of us who believe in Christ. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. I'm the light, that's all dark, right? It's a binary existence. Ladies and gentlemen, no matter what they may say in the world, in the crazy world around us, it's either you're on God's team or you're not on God's team. That's all there is to it. It's black and white, dark and light, right? God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening and there was morning and one day. Okay, so God created light simply by being here. The Spirit moved across the waters, and God said, light, and there was light. And that's where it comes from, and that's the only place it originates from. One guy I listened to on American Family Radio, Abraham Hamilton, he always, in his opening speech, says, darkness is not an affirmative force. Darkness is simply the absence of light. Okay? And we're the light. Okay, so let's see, Isaiah 45 tells us, for thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, he is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. So God is not just a creation of light, he is light. He made in the creation, he didn't create it void and formless. He created the earth to be populated. He created the earth for relationship with mankind. Okay? And so he established and made all of creation and put light on it so that he could be represented here and he could have a relationship with man. He is light. Two passages to talk about God being light. First John tells us, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. And that's a picture of our sanctification. We are without sin when we walk in the power of God the Holy Spirit. We're walking in light. And where there is light, there's no darkness, right? And it's through that light that we overcome any darkness in our own lives, and we help others overcome darkness in their lives, is by giving them that relationship with God, with the light, and teaching them to walk in that light. James chapter 1, and let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lusts. When lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Only one source of light coming down from above, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Believers, remember that we are born of this world. Our old sin nature is darkness. We cannot produce light. We can, however, let God shine through us. Just as we entered our faith is the basis to let God use us to shine his life. Ephesians 5 teaches us, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Don't be ashamed when this world is telling you crazy things that you know is against God's plan and against all of creation, to say that that is not true. Okay, boldly in the truth of the word, state the truth, right? We know that God created the male and female. There's nothing that pseudoscience or people's desire, lusts, can convince us otherwise. We know God said that I created a male and female, and a man shall leave his mother and father and make a life with his wife, right? The female. So we know the word of God, and we can be bold in saying that, even if it means that people will hate us for it. We can be bold in saying those kind of things. Do not participate, trying to learn what is pleasing the Lord. Do not participate in the unfulfilled deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of things which are done by them in secret. For all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. That's that phrase, redeeming the time, that Herman always loves to emphasize. Make the most of your time, because the days are evil. The days are evil indeed. And possibly even more evil than they were in Paul's day when he wrote that, or James's day when he wrote that. So the answer to fighting all of this darkness is to give the light from the source of all light, right? From God. And so how can we stand up to the overwhelming darkness of the world these days? Well, Ephesians 3 tells us, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, in your soul. Okay? God the Holy Spirit is there to strengthen you to stand up to this darkness in the world these days. So that, for this reason, Christ may dwell in your hearts. How are you going to get that done? Through His Spirit, through faith. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. That's that sanctification process, all the fullness of God. And also speaks of maturity in a believer. We often talk about maturity. And that's the fullness of God's work in your life. Maturity isn't a measure of how much doctrine you know. Maturity is a measure of how much fruit you produce in your life and how long you're staying in the Spirit to produce it. Okay? For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father. Yeah, I'm sorry, skip down. You being rooted and grounded in love may be able to come in. And that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. We have to remember always in our sanctification that we're called into sanctification, that this process in living our Christian way of life is just like the way we got into the Christian way of life. Okay? God gives us some information. He tells us that we're sinners and we need His work. We can't do it on our own. And God the Holy Spirit convicts us of that. We understand the need for salvation because God the Holy Spirit convicted us and showed us our own sinfulness and made clear that Christ has done that work to pay for our sinfulness and that we can be spared the punishment of it because of Christ's work on the cross. We get that information. Are we saved at that point? Are you saved yet? Nope. Haven't been saved yet. God the Holy Spirit can make that as clear to you as can possibly be understood in the human realm. And unless you take that next step, you still are not yet saved. And that next step is to believe what God has told you. Believe what God has told you, right? And when you believe that understanding that you are sinful before God, you haven't got the means to bail yourself out of this situation, but that Christ died for you, and when you pray to the Father, I believe your Son came to earth to die for me so that I can have a relationship with you. You put that faith in action. When you believe it and you pray, you put that faith in action. You acknowledge your faith to God the Father. And when you do that, it has a result. Praise God, you're saved forever because of that action, that step that you took because of your faith. You had to have work of God the Holy Spirit to make it clear to you. You had to have the belief in what God has made clear to you. And you had to acknowledge that, tell God about that. You made that step and believed, in fact, what God the Holy Spirit told you was true. And you know now, because of that, that you are saved eternally. And that, in turn, glorifies God the Father through the work of the Son. That's what God wants. God wants His work done in His way, right? We don't have the power to please God because we're dark. We can't do anything. We can't offer the light anything. But we have the power to get that light through the work of God on our behalf. Now, bring that around to your daily life and your process of sanctification. There's a lot of information out there that God the Holy Spirit is going to teach you about the mechanics of your salvation, understanding that only God is light and that this whole world is darkness. That takes spiritual perception, because you look out the window and say, I see the sun shining. Phil, what's the matter with you? There's light out there. I see people being nice to one another that aren't believers. I've got a Hindi friend. He's a superior human being. I have no doubt. He's the sweetest guy in the world. Literally would not harm a fly. Yeah. And but that's not God's light that He has. That's human light. That's human darkness trying to be light, right? And that's the differentiation we have, the understanding that we have to get. I see sunshine, I see niceness, I see just lovely people, but that isn't God's light. It's still darkness. It's God the Holy Spirit that makes us understand that perception of what is true light, what is Him, and what is this world. That's one of the great distinctions we've seen and have been studying in the book of Proverbs, is that there's God, and everything else that's not God is an abomination. Absolutely abhorrent to God. He won't have anything to do with it because it's not Him, not His work, not His way. Okay? We have to be in God's power to produce that and have that relationship with Him through His Spirit. So we get some information in the Word of God. The Word of God tells us, tell others about Jesus Christ. And you say, yeah, okay, I believe that. I believe I should spread the gospel. What happens next? You have to seek that. You have to know that is what your job is. You have to pray to have that opportunity. And you have to have God's words when you get that opportunity. It's got to go back around, right? You got the clear understanding, spread the gospel. You got the knowledge of the gospel because you have believed. You believe that God is telling you, spread the gospel. If you don't now spread the gospel, there's been a breakdown. Because it doesn't go back to glorifying God and our Savior. Spreading the gospel stops in you, and you have the knowledge of spreading the gospel, but you do nothing with it. You've got to make the step to take that for your faith to go back into to God the Father for the glorification of Him. This is our ultimate objective, to glorify the Father through His Son. Everyone agree with that? Okay? That's our ultimate objective. And one of the ways we're told to do that is to share the gospel of Christ with others. And we need God the Holy Spirit's help to do that. Have you ever sat in a parking lot outside of the grocery store and said, Heavenly Father, if there's somebody in this store that needs the gospel, put me in touch with them. You know, it's probably going to be the guy that rams your car. it's not always easy, but it may be the person that says, hey, can you get that off the shelf for me? And you do it in kindness and gladness and happy to help them, and they start talking to you, and they have despair, because they can't even reach a top shelf anymore. And you've got the answer to despair. You don't have to be in despair anymore. Jesus loved you. Jesus died for you. If you have that relationship with Him, you don't have to have despair in your life. Remember always the fruits of the Spirit. They are God the Holy Spirit in action in your life. Remember, where was it? In 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, going the wrong way. 2 Timothy 4, I think. I'm going to find it. I hate it when I get go off on a bunny trail and I have to find a verse. I look so silly thumbing through. That preacher don't even know where the Bible is. Okay, let's see. Yeah, so we're going to go to 2 Timothy, chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I don't know if we did you remember we did this study a year or two back, and in chapter 3 we see Paul talking about the sins that are in the world, okay? But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Ooh, there's those last days again, right? Paul is definitely talking about the end times, you know, the last days are really all the church age, because this is the last hurrah, before the tribulation, right? And so all of this time, whatever God has set in his calendar for the church age, those are all the last days, okay? It's the last days for the Israelites to come back to their covenant relationship with God in his power. It's the last days for us to glorify God before the dispensations change and the rules are going to change, right? This is one of the few times in all of history, the first time in all of human history, where we have a volitional ability to rely on God the Holy Spirit, be indwelt by Him, and have Him work through us. In the tribulation, well, they'll have some of that. They'll have some of the work of God the Holy Spirit, and actually you'll see miracles and dreams and things from the Old Testament come back up through God the Holy Spirit in the tribulation. But once we hit the millennium, nothing but believers, nothing but God the Holy Spirit, and no, there won't be a matter of volition. The presence of God is going to be right in front of us. We don't have to say, I believe. We say, I see Him, right? That's the uniqueness of this time, these last days, this church age, is that we get to make a volitional decision to rely on the work of God the Holy Spirit in our lives and see His production in our lives. And when we do not do that, we are producing sin. And that's why he goes on here in 2 Timothy 3. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, implacable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Six of those words are a fruit of the God, the Holy Spirit, with an alpha privative in front of it. Ah, same meaning un. So instead of being full of love, joy, peace, they are unlove, unjoy, unpeace, right? They are the exact opposite. This list is almost all of the fruits of the Spirit with a not in front of them, okay? And that's the stark light and dark perception. God the Holy Spirit has all the light. He brings us love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, faithfulness, gratefulness, self-control. Just the opposite of the things that you see in this list. The things you see in this list are on the news, right? It's like the commentator sitting there going, today we had some unfaithfulness in Dallas and over in New York there was a lot of lack of self-control, okay? Yeah. And and the reason why it reads like that is because God the Holy Spirit isn't there. And the reason God the Holy Spirit isn't there is, one, the gospel hasn't been there. So there's no God the Holy Spirit to rely on for those people. And two, the fact that if they believed, they're not looking to the Spirit. They're looking to themselves to please God by their own efforts. And that's as much sharing the gospel. We have two salvations, right? We have salvation from the penalty of sin, and that's the gospel of Christ on the cross. And the second salvation is our salvation from the power of sin in our lives. And these things that are not God the Holy Spirit working through us are sin. Either it's God or it's not, right? And so that's why we have this list of Greek words that are alpha privatives, that are exact opposite of so many of the fruits of the Spirit, because it's black and white. And we have to share not only the gospel of Christ to those who need it, we have to share the walk of the Spirit with those who need it. And, you know, we've seen the analogy before that, you know, when the Treasury Department is training agents to find counterfeit money, they don't teach them the millions of ways that you can fake a $20 bill. They teach them every nook and cranny of what a real $20 bill looks like. So if they see a fake one, they're going to say, nope, not supposed to have a little twirly right there. You know, they recognize that it's fake. It's the wrong thing. Well, if you understand the presence and work of God the Holy Spirit in your life, you know every jot and tittle of that function. And if somebody's selling you something that isn't at truth, there's something wrong with them. There's something wrong with that. They're not telling you the truth if it's not this basic plan. And it's got to be this basic plan, because just like our salvation, we couldn't produce it ourselves, we couldn't save ourselves, and we couldn't glorify God ourselves. And the same is true in our walk each and every day. We can't produce that light ourselves, but God has given us the power. It's at work in our inner man, in our soul. And the more we rely on Him in faith, the more we produce those things. How do we know we relied on Him in faith? Say, well, I believe I've said I want your Spirit in my life. I need your Spirit in my life. I believe that. What happened? Just like with your salvation, something had to happen, right? To get that loop complete, to glorify God, you had to believe and talk to God about believing, right? And the same thing happens in your life. When you say, I believe that I'm filled with the Spirit, and you're still angry, you've had a short circuit, because anger is not on the list of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's visible, it's evident, it's light, and it shines in your eye when you see it. And if you do not see it, you have a breakdown in your system of faith. Believe in God the Holy Spirit working in your life. Know that He wants to produce joy in your life and not fear, right? I'm afraid to do that. When you say that, you express that emotion, know deep in your heart that is not a fruit of God the Holy Spirit. It may be time for you to buck up and get on with whatever it was you were afraid to do. Okay? And that is production of God the Holy Spirit. And you're going to see it and you're going to know it. I was afraid to go to the make that prayer before I went into the grocery store. Believe that God, the Holy Spirit, will work in you if you run across someone. Make that prayer. And when you run into that person, make that declaration of what God has done for you. You don't have to give them all the theology in the world. Tell them what God did for you. Because you are the light our nation and the world needs today. Okay? That concludes our lesson for today. You have any questions for me? Yes, ma'am.
I often thought, just like the end of chapter 3 in 2 Timothy talks about the Bible is inspired by God.
All scripture is God-breathed, yes.
Several friends of mine have opposed that case written by man. Do you have any suggestions?
That's that very verse, all scripture is breathed by God, is a declaration that God wrote the Bible. The Bible is not a source of authority because of the proof that we can put on it. The Bible is the source of authority because it says it's the source of authority. Okay, and the reason that's not just circular reason is because it comes from the source of all authority. It's from God. It is God's word. Was it written by man? Yes, about 37 men, I think. They were all under a single source of inspiration, and that's God, the Holy Spirit. That's God telling them what to write down. And He used each of their personalities and their academic abilities and everything about them to get the message that He wanted in that book at that time.
And it was preserved.
Huh? And it has been preserved. Yeah.
It's like the Holy Spirit over the different 37 men. They're literally over their shoulder as they're writing.
I think what I got rejected the most is that what makes it more special than any other literature than other people wrote.
Like the Quran. The Quran was composed by one man, okay? And there wasn't the writings of Muhammad in one place and preserved for all time. Just like the Bible, there were different letters, different versions, different manuscripts. And at one point, Muhammad, toward the end of his life, they got tired of misinterpretations because this letter said one thing and the same copy of it said something else. So he said, okay, give me all of those. And he had them written down. He was illiterate himself. Had them written down in one source by one person, and he said, "Burn everything else. This is the Quran now." Okay. So what they see and use as the Quran to this day is one man's interpretation of many men's writing. Okay. And there's it doesn't have an authority. As much authority as saying, okay, God told 37 guys to write this, in their own way. Ultimately, the acceptance of God's word is just like the acceptance of God, though. And how are we going to do that? We believe it. We by faith.
Okay. But in 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21 are the verses you want. But it's like Phil said, it's faith. If you choose not to believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God, then we have no more basis of talking or anything, discussion, because it is you to believe it or you don't, and it's your choice.
Yeah. Well, to me, I feel like those were pertinent questions, and I kept asking myself, why is it that it appeals to me so much? And I do realize that with a small knowledge of me, I'm a young Christian in this case, young in faith. And then I realize that no matter how many times I write it, the story doesn't change. And it's consistent and it's so marvelous within itself. How could you get 37 people spanning over thousands of years to write the same core story over and over?
Mm-hmm. Old and new. You can compare that.
Yeah, and
I've heard the prophecy. There was a mathematician years ago who studied the prophecy of all the Old Testament that Christ would fulfill in the New Testament, right? And the odds were, if you took one silver dollar and painted red, and you threw it out over the state of Texas somewhere, which was 2 foot deep in silver dollars. The whole state. The chance of you pulling that one red silver dollar out, that's the odds of God or Christ fulfilling all of the Old Testament prophecy.
Yeah.
So there, in fact, that should give you a chill in the outside.
Yeah.
It's there if they want to read it, if they want to open it.
Absolutely. Could they hear that over the...
I'll have to quiet.
Okay. All right.
That's another
question. Yeah. No, computers are not God. I'm telling you, those are from Satan. All right, then, if there are no further questions, let's close with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how magnificent your plan is. How awesome it is to know that we have your light in our lives. We have the power of your Spirit that we might reach out to others. We pray, Heavenly Father, that in this world of darkness where there are no fruits, that we may have fruits. We pray that where there is no knowledge of Christ, where the need for Christ is, we pray that we might have the ability to help out with that need. Heavenly Father, use each and every one of us to share your gospel and the work of your Son. Use each and every one of us to safeguard our souls from anything other than your grace plan and to tell others about that grace plan. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with us as we go through our week and bring us together in assembly again next week that we might worship you and adore your Son, for he is worthy of all praise. In his precious name we pray, sir. Amen.